addition to doing improv for 15 years, my guest has worked at Laika, Cartoon Network, and currently Sony Pictures Animation, where he is head of story on Connected, which is coming to theaters October 23rd, 2020, if all goes according to plan. My guest is Guillermo Martinez, and this is The Changed Podcast.
Hey guys,
hi. Hi, Guillermo.
Awesome. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah. I'm super happy that you agreed to come on this podcast. And you and I have played together at Curious Comedy Theater. Shout out to Curious. Hi, Stacy. but yeah, you don't live here anymore. You're in California.
I talked to my wife about this, but we miss Portland a lot. And in February, we are doing this. We're going to stay in a hotel. We're going to visit friends. What is coronavirus? And then it all just changed. And we're like, no. I miss it. And every time I try to go up there, I try to perform at least once just to hang out with people too.
Oh, man. That is one thing. Man, do I miss getting on a live stage in front of a live audience. I look forward to when that is a thing we can safely do again.
No, me too. I mean, right now I'm doing a little bit of improv with some friends from Latin America. We're doing a couple Spanish focused improv, but at the same time, we're kind of discovering the limitations of Zoom as what can we come up with that is really funny and silly and stupid. Right now, what we're doing, at least what I'm trying, we're trying to lift the laptop up and every once in a while move the camera to create a very intense angle or something
that. Yes.
As suspense and I did it once just jokingly and my teammates were like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I just lifted the camera.
Picked up the laptop.
We should do more of that. And so right now it's just us walking around the house with the laptop doing Dutch angles and weird moves.
I think that's really smart. Can I make an assumption that you tend to be pretty adaptable, that change isn't as scary as it could be to others, or am I just way out in left field? How do you feel about change, generally speaking?
About change, okay, so this is really weird. I have very different feelings in regards to change. I think for me, I hate monotony. Is that the right word? I don't know if it is. English is my second language, so I do apologize. I remember when every day would start the same, I would always try to add an element, a small element of something new for me to not get anxious. Because if I'm about to do the same thing that I did yesterday in a movie, kind of in a repetitive way, I start getting feeling weird and it's a weird mental thing where if I'm taking the same road to go to work every day, I'm I get anxious. But if I decide to be I'm gonna take a different route to get to work, it feels like my day feels better now.
It sounds a little bit like you crave variety.
I crave variety. But at the same time, it's super weird. I sometimes not doing new things, sometimes doing new things gives me anxiety, if it's about a meeting or something, I still get that nervousness of but then once I pass that threshold basically of just meeting this new person or going to this meeting, I calm down and I'm like, oh, I should have done that a long time ago. Why am I freaking out about this? So it varies. The first weeks of the pandemic, it was just very intense for me because I was I'm a very social person too. Uh-huh. And not only social, but I'm also very Latino, and Latinos are very we love being with family and hugging and stuff like that. And I can't go now I'm literally stuck in the same house. And so but then after 4 weeks into it, or I think maybe 2 months into it, I was all right, start, what are the new things I can do with this limited space that I have right now? And so now we got patio furniture, which is embarrassing to say that we just got after living in this place for like 7 months. And then now we're like, yes, we're sitting outside. This is good. This is nice. This just feels different. I almost got stung by a bee and I'm like, okay, maybe I should go back to the inside.
Too much variety. It went a little too fast. And dangerous.
Well, yeah, just, you know, oof. I felt alive again.
For you, improv and this sort of variety craving and or adaptability, which do you think came first for you?
I think I from a very young age, I used to like, I don't know, like I would watch something and then I immediately would get bored and I would like go to something else. And I would just like, I always wanted something new. So I always felt that like I wanted to like, you know, I don't know, like I did like my room and when I was a kid was just, if you look at it, it looked like I painted something on the walls, but then you would see that there's other paintings beneath it because I got bored of them. And so I wanted to do another mural on top of the wall and then I'd do another one. And then, yeah, eventually my mom was like, you got to stop doing this. Can you just do it in the north?
Please stop painting your room.
Yeah. And so like, I always like, yeah, my sketchbooks were like a drawing that looked pretty good. And then I gave up immediately. I was like, all right, let's go to a new one. And I just got bored so quickly.
It's incredible. It makes me think of, so one of my colleagues, he's also a visual artist and a muralist. And he went to the UK a couple of years ago and he did this big mural at this place that I definitely can't remember the name of. But basically the understanding there is you're putting a mural there with the understanding that it's temporary. You're going to create this massive piece of art that is definitely going to go away. And in fact, as he was, you know, he moved across this mural, as he got to this end where he was completing that last bit, the other far end was beginning to disappear as other people were coming in and creating art. I thought that was remarkable because we oftentimes, I think, people generally think of art as a thing you collect, but yeah. I think art is more than a thing you collect. Art is sometimes just about the act of creating.
Yeah, no, it sort of reminds me of like the first time I discovered oil painting in art school, and I discovered that oil painting, like, you know how you with acrylic you would paint and then it will solidify and that was it. But with oil, you would do
I'll have
oil.
To take your word for that because I am not a visual artist. Yeah,
I might be wrong, but like I feel that like oil stays wet, so it can change at any moment. Like it's super, super crazy. Like I painted an oil, and then weeks passed by, and I could pass my finger through it, and then I completely changed the whole thing. And it's super weird that like, and I think that's what adds value to it. Maybe I'm crazy, but I think that's what adds value, that you have something that is like. Still looks like it came out of the oven, like, and it still can be anything. It's so scary. I remember like, and also like oil painting also, like I remember like painting the canvas orange, I think, and then I put some blue on it, the blue disappeared and it was just the orange. It's almost like, wow, like the color orange just consumed the blue. And it was just like all those little things made me go like, wow, this is such a dangerous and amazing, like living, breathing organism that is choosing what it wants to be. I mean, I will get a phone call from an art friend of mine going like, dude, that's not the way it works. I'm like, but that's the way I remember it working when I was doing my first work. You don't know me.
I think remembering the way something works totally counts as it working that way. At least for you, it does. It takes on that meaning.
I just know way more friends from art school that like dedicated years and decades to oil painting and understanding it. And this was my notion from like 2 days of like oil painting or, you know, like 2 weeks.
They'll probably come back to you and be like, look, that just means you had too much paint on the canvas.
And I'm like, thank you. Also, good to hear from you again. You know, we haven't talked in a while.
I'm super curious, if you are able to use your improv background in the work that you do as an animator.
Yes, actually, God, thank you for asking that question. I don't think a lot of improvisers and animators I think storytellers or the people who want to do film or writing or animation, like, can, there's a lot of value in improv that like you would never imagine, you know, like improv is kind of like disposable comedy, and it's basically you do a scene, it all goes, everything goes crazy, and then you're done with it and it's gone. Like, yeah. I mean, someone will record it or something, but it's just there. And that reminded me so much of my process, and or I think the way a lot of like storyboard artists or writers in animation work, where it's like you're kind of constantly like, hey, is this a good idea? They came up with this joke where this thing happens and this thing happens, this thing happens, and then the director's like, that doesn't work, and you just throw it away, and then you just kind of go, all right, how about this? And so I think that I think improv in a way kind of helped me with that muscle of not getting married to certain things, which I think made me more, this is sounds weird, but like a more successful story guy, because I was able to not get married to anything. Because like I think it's easy for someone to be in story and or in animation and just be like married to this one thing, like this, it's like, oh, this is so cool and this guy is so good, and then the director doesn't use it, and then you're kind of like, oh, really, I think I'm right, you know, like, but I'm so
people get very attached.
I'm so used to like disintegrating like story and like doing doing improv where like I made this scene, we did a scene together, no one laughed, whatever. We did a scene together, some people laughed, whatever. I did a scene, someone's laughing, yay, that's good, let's do another scene. Like, it's just like I'm always, I guess in that sense, I'm very I'm a lover of change, I guess. This is a good way to put it. But yeah, I think that's one of the main things, correlations between the two.
Well, so Guillermo, I would love it. Will you, can you, would you tell us a story from your real life? Share with us a story about a moment of change.
I was born and raised in Puerto Rico, and I lived there for, I think, maybe 22 years, 20 something years. But the people that I met there are the closest people that I've ever had in my life. Because I'm also Latino, I think I have this connection with my family, and I love them to death. So it became really difficult when I realized, like, I know what my number one passion is, and it's to work in animation and feature animation in the U.S. just to learn from like the masters and stuff. But I knew, I'm like, I can't go. I'm just this island guy. Like, I'm not. What the hell am I gonna do over there? Like, it's a lot harder than I think. And so I just kind of continued doing things that were sort of related to animation, like motion graphics and doing graphic design, and doing, you know, some things here and there. And I think there was this. Okay, so this is weird, super weird. There was one day that my mom asked, where do you want to go to the movies? We can go to this movie theater, or we can go to this movie theater. And I'm like, huh, okay, let me think. Let's go to this movie theater that's in this mall. Why not? She's like, all right, let's go. I never knew that that moment was going to be an important moment in my life. Because when I went to that movie theater, I normally go to the other one, which has better seats, better food, AC. And I chose the other one because I'm like, oh, let's try something different. Let's do something new. I was like, well, we've been going to this movie theater a bunch of times. We haven't been to that other one in a while. I went to that other movie theater, and there, as I'm literally walking in, out comes this girl that I actually was like, oh, we know each other. It's like, oh, yeah. We started talking, and we exchanged phone numbers, and then I started dating that girl, who was an old friend from another job that I had. And so we dated for a while, and then one day cleaning her apartment because she was moving, her roommate dropped a piece of paper that said, welcome to the School of Academy of Art University, which is an animation school in San Francisco. And I'm like, oh, what is that? She's like, oh, it's an art school in San Francisco. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And from that moment on, when I saw that, I started researching it, and I started going like, oh, I can study animation. I can do this. And then from that moment on, like, there was like, it was like a moment of inception. I was like, should I apply to that school? I mean, this might be the shot. This might be the only shot I have to work in animation, or at least start somewhere, because I didn't know where to start. And then like weeks after, I got this job, the worst job. I've ever had in my life, which was like working as a comic book artist for this company where the guy who was running it was this like kind of like preacher. And this company doesn't exist anymore. He was a preacher, and he was always like passing by me going like, hey, well, are you ever going to go to my one of my services? Because I'm trying to save you, man. I'm trying to save you. And I'm like, wow. I'm
no
good.
Pressure.
No pressure. And then it was me and then two other people who've been there for like 17 years. And they were like buddy buddies. And I was alone. Like I was like me alone. These 17, like these people who've been there for a while and the owner, and they were all groups of friends and I didn't do anything. I was just like drawing and I felt weird.
And so your choice was to stay in this job you hated or take a leap of faith and go to art school.
And take a leap of faith and like, I think, cause I at that point I had finished like art school, but it was more fine art. The one in Puerto Rico, and I wanted to be more focused on animation. And that, when I was there, I realized, the hell am I doing? What the hell am I doing? I need to do something. And then that's when I decided to, like, from being there, I talked to my ex-girlfriend's roommate. I was like, hey, can you send me the information for the school? And I applied, and one day I was working there and I was like literally passing out because I was like just like, very sleepy. I was like very bored. And I got the email saying, hey, by the way, we're super interested in you got into the school. And from that moment on, I was like, I quit that job. And I had the other thing of like, you know, I was like super excited. I was like, this is going to be great. I'm leaving. But I think the leaving aspect was like super terrifying because I was like, oh shit, I am leaving. I am leaving 20 years of my life. Like, what is that going to be? I still remember the day that my mom was like super excited and my dad was like, you know, your son is leaving and he might not come back, right? Aww. And my mom just like broke down and I'm like, dad, what the F? What the hell?
I had a smooth escape, dad, until you said that.
Yeah. And so the day before I left, there was this like, I was like clammy. I was sweaty because I was like, it was growing me. Like my brain was going like 2 days from now or a day from now, your life is literally going to start from zero. Like, mm-hmm. It's so weird. And so like, I left at 5 a.m. in the morning in my house. And it almost felt like I was escaping my reality when no one was watching. So like, I remember leaving and that drive to the airport was just weird. Like I do this thing, which is super bizarre, where I look around me if I feel like this is the last time I'm ever going to see a place. It's almost like taking
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to hear you say that. I always wondered if other people do that. And I feel like surely a bunch of people must, but I don't know if everybody does.
Yeah, I mean, I know that like a psychopath like me does. So, I mean, because it's like the most, you know, you want to see the image of this image of this place before you leave, because you don't know if you're gonna go be back there again.
Mental photo album.
And so I was like all the way to the airport, just looking at all these places. I remember having a party there. I remember getting drunk there. I remember doing this there, and it was all like still at night, like the sun was coming up. And then I still remember flying, and then I landed there, and I landed in San Francisco. And to go from Puerto Rico to San Francisco, it was like, it was a weird experience. Because like, for me, if I had flown to Florida, which has a bigger Puerto Rican population, I would have been like, oh, this is going to be an easy transition. But here, it was like a melting pot of different nationalities that I had never like socialized with. And I was like, this is crazy. And I stayed in the hotel, and my dad, he's very like sweet and he's very supportive, but he's very like, all right, see you later. Like, he's very like, all right, take care. Just dropping you off. And so I remember me sleeping with him. Like, we had like two beds, and he was like, hey, I'm not going to wake. He was like, I'm not going to wake you up, but I have to take the flight back to the island tomorrow. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. And then, and he's like, oh, by the way, here. And he left me an actual Rolex. He left me his Rolex. He's like, you can have this. This is like, you know, this is my present to you. And I'm like, oh, that's fine. And then I just like went to sleep. And then when I woke up, I was like, oh, and I looked, my dad wasn't there. I was in a new city, and like life, my new life had just begun there. And it was like the most weirdest thing. It was the weirdest experience ever. So, wow. And I think that's, for me, still being the biggest moment of change. And after that, like, because I'm a social person, it only took me like 2 weeks or less than that to like have a group of friends and yeah. But it was amazing to be like, I was one way in the island. What do I choose now in this place that no one knows me? Like, who am I gonna be? And I think I just kind of stayed myself. I was like, I think I'm good.
But you actually made a choice about that. You actually analyzed, like, I could reinvent myself now. Do I want to?
Yeah. Like, are there things that I don't like about myself that I can be here? And I was like, no, I used to love comedy and do improv and drink in bars with friends. I think I'll just do that. I think I'll just do that. But it was like the biggest. I still remember that day so vividly, or at least those 2 days. Wow. That's like just crazy. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that story with us.
Yeah. Do you mind if I say one thing? One thing I chose to change from the way I used to be in the island. In the island, I was very bad at school. Like, I was like bored out of my mind of like any other classes or whatever, and I wasn't very responsible. Like, I was the Mr. C or B minus type person, which is, I felt embarrassed, but I knew that when I started in San Francisco, I was going to change completely. Like, I was just going to focus 100% on animation. And that was like the biggest change. I was like, now I'm doing the thing that I wanted to do. Therefore, I have to show that I want this. And so, like, I worked my butt off. And so I had a better time studying and getting better grades than I used to.
Sounds like that was a good choice. It also shows, like, you can make choices about that. That's that whole growth mindset versus fixed mindset thing. It's like, just knowing that you could do it differently is enough to open up things for people in new ways. People who are like, well, I'm just always a bad student, are just doomed to always be a bad student. But the minute you tell your brain, I could also just not, I could do it a different way. And it sounds like that worked for you.
I thought at first that I was gonna suck hard when I went to when I started in San Francisco, but then I realized, oh, it's just me, man. It's just me. I can totally do this. Boy, my mom was right. Oh boy. Oh well. Anyway,
what was your mom right about?
Oh, my mom was right. She's like, because I remember being like, I think I'm just destined to just be not good at school, and she's like, no, I think you're good. I think this is all on you. Like you're choosing not to want to study that much. You're choosing to getting that F. I saw you watching TV and not studying. Therefore, you chose not to, you know, get better grades. So yeah, it's that's what she was right about.
So mom was right, and you proved it by just deciding to do it differently in San Francisco.
Yeah. Like if my mom was there in San Francisco, she'd be like, wow, what a revelation.
That's terrific. So you made this big leap. What changed in your life as a result of making that choice? Because there was one fork. You could have just gone to that normal movie theater. Where would your life be now if you had done that?
Literally, I think about that every year or every month. I think about that. I think if I decided to like be like Gwyneth Paltrow and not get on the train, sorry, like a weird sliding doors like reference. Is that Gwyneth Paltrow? Yeah.
Probably. I don't remember.
Probably, yeah. But I think, I don't know, it would have been a different story. I think that day where I chose to go to a different movie theater, like, it's like if I look back, it's like the biggest day of my life. But I also feel that the universe in a way would have been like, hey, no, you're interested in this. Like, I don't know. I just feel that like my passion for doing animation would have just like somehow came up in some other way. I would have taken a little bit longer. I think if I went to the other movie theater, I would have just like gone and worked in an ad agency for a while, and then some other friends that I have. Oh, that's interesting. Holy shit. Sorry, just think about this. Okay, so bear with me on this one. I always say that like if I went to the other movie theater, I would have just kind of like worked in some small animation studio in the island that a friend of mine runs, But my friend wouldn't be running that thing if he hadn't gone to the same college that I did when I told him, hey, I'm going to San Francisco, you should come with me. So I feel that, knowing how talented and good he is, he probably would have opened the company anyway, but I feel that, like, I don't know, like, I feel that, like, I feel that
there's an intersection in your paths for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Clearly. That's amazing. That choice that you made had ripple effects that have just think that's so cool.
It's crazy. Like, it's crazy ripple effects that would have affected a bunch of other people's lives. Cause I know that, like, after that, when I left, I was almost like the guy who tested the waters for a lot of other people who were interested in doing animation or doing film. They were like, hey, how's that school? Is that school good? And then they all kind of like, he went, and then because he went, other friends of his went, and then because they went, another people went. And so I think, and yeah, it's like, this is blowing my mind right now.
Well, so today you are head of story on Connected. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Connected?
Yeah. So Connected is this, it's the next feature animation from Sony Pictures Animation. And it's the same people who did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, most recently Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and it's the same, it's produced by the same guys, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, but it's directed by this guy called Mike Rianda, and he basically is it's kind of like an autobiographical story about his family, but it's basically the story of this girl who wants to wants to go to film school and is super excited, but her dad is like, I don't know how you're gonna succeed in life by making movies. You should get a job at a Home Depot or something like that. I know a guy at Home Depot. I can totally get your job there. And she's like, no, I want to do my own thing. And so, like, he decides to, before, like, his wife tells him, like, we're about to lose our daughter if you don't change. And so that is the father decides, hey, let's get on a road trip together to college and let's unite. But then it just turns into this kind of like Little Miss Sunshine situation where, like, the family's always bickering. And oh, by the way, the robot apocalypse happens.
And oh my God.
There's no more humans left in the world. And this family that is constantly bickering with each other are the ones that have to save the world. Wow. And so, yeah, it's an animated movie. And it's like right now we're like, my job there is done because, like, the film is already like done. Basically, yeah, now they're just doing sound mixing. But it's might be one of the most like gratifying experiences, professional experiences of my life, because it literally is the movie that I've always wanted to do. Like, when I met the director, he actually approached me. He was like, hey, we me and him have different friends who are like, oh, you guys should just hang out with each other. Like, you should meet the guy. Oh, you should meet Guillermo. Oh, you should meet. And I'm like, who is this guy? And then we met. And then we clicked, and it was just like this really good relationship. And it was like, it's like his inspirations in comedy are like, you know, Greg Daniels and like, oh, like The Simpsons. And it's just like bleak, but like bleak comedies, but with a little, you know, but for families. And I was blessed to be able to like work on that project.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
what's next?
I can't say much details about it, but I am right now developing my own film.
That's awesome. With Sony.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You don't have to tell us more than that unless you really want to, but that's exciting.
It's super exciting. And I'm right now, like, it's funny. Cause like it's the most, it's the most bizarre situation to be in, like, just to think about what I'm doing right now and going back to that day in the movie theater, you know, like, it's still like blowing my mind. I'm like, wow, I really picked well. It's good. Kudos. Let's try a different movie theater. Doing something different paid off.
Oh my gosh. I feel like that's an amazing takeaway, which was going to be my next question. Try a different movie theater. It really paid off. I mean, it's just that simple in this particular story. It's of course not that simple. There was a series of choices you made along the way. But it all started with that one simple choice that opened up all those other choices.
I actually got to add that to my presentation. So I never added it to my presentation. To my,
you better throw it in there.
Yeah, it has to be in there.
That's incredible. You were going to tell somebody one thing to do, try, think differently as they approach their own lives and the changes they're in. What would you say to people? That's a lot. So anything you want to draw people's attention to while you've got the mic?
On October 23rd, 2020, if everything goes well, like Connected will be in theaters everywhere.
I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it. I think it's going to be a really fun one to see with the family.
Yeah. And the family is great. Like, you know, like the dad is voiced by Danny McBride. The mom is Maya Rudolph. The daughter is Abby Jacobson from what's it called? They're from Broad City. The boy is the director who's one of the most amazing voice actors in the world. And it's just like also not necessarily tied to it, but like sort of tied to it. I used to be a writer and storyboard artist for the show called We Bear Bears and Cartoon Network. And recently they just released a movie. It's streaming now online. And it's basically like just, it's like almost like the final episode. It's like the end of that show. So.
Oh, cool.
If you have kids, I think it's a good movie for people to watch.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I have no
idea. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Guillermo. I really, really appreciate your time today, and I loved hearing your thoughts. Thanks so much for being on my podcast.
Oh, thank you. I cannot wait to cringefully hear myself in the podcast going like, "What are you talking about, Guillermo?" But yeah, anytime.
When we talk about change on this show and the moments when people have been impacted the most, often we hear stories of making choices to leave pain and suffering behind or to accept opportunities as they arise. But sometimes it's the little things that point to big things down the road, and the only way to see this relationship between choices and events is hindsight. Which movie theater do you want to go to hardly seems like an invitation to a complete change of life and career, and yet the simplicity of this choice is exactly what led Guillermo down the path of leaving home soil for new conquest, one door presenting itself after another, and all because of this one small choice. Are we the pilot of our own destiny? If we can't see these pivotal moments until they're long behind us, what should we do? My own philosophy has been to simply stay open. Make choices filled with purpose where you can, but stay open to surprising things showing up from the choices you didn't even know you were making. It's the simplicity of walking along the sidewalk with eyes up to the world, taking it all in, versus walking along with your nose pointed to your feet, trying to get each step right. When I think about how my own life has turned out so far, I can identify at least a half a dozen movie theater moments along my own path, and it's both strange and wonderful to think about life in this way. What about you? What are your movie theater moments, and where have they led you? Look for Connected from Sony Pictures Animation in theaters October 23rd. You can visit the Cartoon Network to watch We Bear Bears online or watch with your Netflix or Hulu subscription. Visit our website, thechangedpodcast.com, to enjoy the show notes from this episode and learn more about Guillermo. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast to help other folks find it. And as always, thank you for listening. You've been listening to The Changed Podcast. I'm Aiden Nipom, and I wish you the kind of experiences in life that you are excited to tell stories about.